But you don't want the flash. The same thing when I'm gonna say when we was kids, because we grown, most of us grown now, we're not like that. When lightning flash, you can be cutting up. And when that lightning flash, everybody will stop. Because you know what? You had a fear of the flash. And some of us know when you're driving and you see them blue lights flash, that's another fear. Do I have my insurance paper? Do I have my driver's license? Was I speeding? I wonder what they're stopping me for. And the car pass around you and go back, phobia. So when you think you're not afraid of the light, think again. You might be afraid of the light. Some things frighten us. But Jesus was talking about when he came in, I guess if he had been doing miracles when he was a child, they would have knew it. But he just lived. And 30 years, flash, he on the scene. And all of a sudden, you get this flash of God. And you look at, well, I know him. He can't be God. He's doing miracles. He's doing things that only God's supposed to be doing. Now think about this. All the Hebrews, through all the ages, you looked at them. You know what they wanted? A God to worship. A God they could see. A God they could put their hands on. And when it happened, guess what? They didn't want it. How backwards are we to desire and want something, and when we get it, we don't want it? And it's even when we buying things. Oh, I got to have one. I got to have one. I got to get this. I'm going to say kids, not growing up. Kids, you got to get this. And when you get it for them, you don't play with it. What? And it's like that, the same thing spiritually. But the question is, are you afraid of the light? Now, when you think about light, we're going to look at a few things. The first thing is when light first appeared. What do you think happened when light first appeared? I went to Genesis. In the beginning was the Word, and then God created, said, let there be light. And there was light. And then nothing. Looked like if the world was dark, nothing. When that light came, something should have happened. So I went to Job. I said, "But now, Job was y'all know the story of Job, huh? He went through a lot, and Job said, you know what Job said? I know I'm right. I know I'm not what my friends say I am. But if I could get with God, I could explain my situation to God, and God would stop this calamity that's happening to me." So Job kept going. He kept talking. So in chapter 38 of Job, God shows up. And the first thing God said, and you're going to get this word, he said, who is this that darkeneth my counsel with words with no knowledge? Now, here you hurting. Now, you got a picture, Job, sore from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, done lost everything, and friends talking about him. And you think you're looking for God to come in and say, my poor son, Job, come on, get up. God, get up, Job. And then he goes through this thing of telling Job, he asked Job the question, where were you when I fastened the foundations of the earth? When I created the world, where was you? Tell me what's sustaining this world and holding it in place. And when you get to that verse 7, when you get to verse 7, God asked a question. He said, when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for glory. When the creation was happening, that's when it sang. Who knows another place in the Bible where the angels sing? Who? Y'all sound just like me. When I heard that, I say, well, that's a good point. I'm gonna show all the places where the angels were singing. So I said, well, I know Isaiah saw the Lord high living. There wasn't no singing. They was crying and shouting, but they didn't sing. And then I thought about our old Christmas hymn. Hark the herald angels sing. But it wasn't no singing then. The Bible said they were saying, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Why did the singing stop after the creation? That's a question. I don't know. I'm asking y'all. Y'all got to look that up. I don't know either. But Brother Kevin, I started thinking about it. I said that maybe it was when Satan saw, when he said the light, he saw the vastness of the galaxy, and he saw all this thing that God had made, and he go, wow, if I was in charge of this. And when Satan got kicked out, I don't know, I didn't find, I couldn't read it. Perhaps all the angels that were singing was kicked out with him. So now, when we have praise and worship, I wonder how attentive God is, since if the angels up there not singing, when we get to singing, look like God would say, shh, I think they're giving me genuine praise in Philadelphia. And he comes down to hear. That's why we say when the praises go up, the blessings come down. And those of you who kind of come to church late and say, well, I just want to hear what Pastor got to say, you might be missing a blessing or missing the presence of God when he's, because that's when the singing is going on. But it's something to think about. There's another thing we have in when the light came. That's when it appeared. But the Bible says that light brings salvation. Now, when we look at salvation, we sing the song all the time, Psalms 27 and 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? But now, if you're not afraid of the light, let's look at this. If you're not afraid of the light, what does salvation have in it? Deliverance, peace. Look like we all would want that. But when you look at salvation, if somebody have to be lost and in distress to need saving. So that's one thing you got to find in salvation. If salvation is to happen, they also have to have a savior. So you can have a savior and you can have somebody that's lost and distressed, but you need one other thing. You need the work or action of the savior to release that person or those persons from the circumstances that have them distressed. Save us, because that's saving power. When he say, I am the light. When you read John, I'll give you exact, I think it's 9. First John, John chapter 3, verse 9. Look what it says. That's not the one. No, I want that one. That one. John 3, 19. Look what it says in John 1 and 9. It says, that was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. And when I read that, you know what I said? We often say, given to every man is a measure of faith, and that's true. But I didn't know this verse. I done read, John before, but it never caught my attention that when Christ came, he gave it to light to every man that came into the world. So if he gave us light, why don't we see? And you got to ask yourself when light coming out, and I asked my son, I asked my wife, I said, what would you do if you had light? And one said, well, I see what's around me. I said, well, yeah, that's naturally what you see. My son said, well, I can see what I don't have, too, if I got light. I said, yeah, that's correct, too. But I say, what if the light comes suddenly? You know when light comes suddenly, what we do? Cover our eyes. Why is that? Because we've been in darkness so long. When you be in darkness a long time, when the light comes, You don't want to. You don't want to. But when you've been in the light, and the light is on, it don't bother you. So we have to ask ourselves, if I'm afraid of the light, how long have I been in darkness? How long have I been in darkness? And we meet people on the street. We try to witness to them. We try to offer Jesus Christ to them. And you know what some of them say? Well, you know, you know, I don't like to, you know, I'm going to be real. I don't want to play with God, you know, and, you know, I'm, you know, when I come, I'm going to be all the way in. I'm just going to put that aside and I'm going to come. But who told you you're going to have time to put it aside? The light come, but you don't want to accept it because you've been in the dark so long. Light also does a thing called it reveals who you really are. Revelation. When you look in Psalms 119 and 30, look what it says. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. When you're willing to accept that Jesus is the light, you're going to repent. You're going to realize what you are. And you're going to realize what you need. But the problem is, sometimes we don't have understanding. When the light shined on it, you can say, oh, now I see. I got understanding. Or you can do like so many of them on the street, say, not now. I'm going to get in there. My wife used to do Clinique. And if you ever go in a mall, the brightest places in the store is where they put that makeup at. And you know why they do that? They want to expose your face to you, what you can see. They're trying to sell you something. And they tell you, you think your skin is, oh, yeah. And then they put that bright light in the mirrors that magnify it. And you say, oh, I didn't know that. And they say, well, let me fix it. So they start putting that little wash. And they put that little base on there and get you all fixed up. And then you look at it, oh, what a, and they're going to stop somebody. What you look like? Wow, that's amazing. Okay, and then they hand you that bill for about $200 for that makeup and stuff. But when you see those things in your face, you say, well, I don't want that on there. I got to get that cleansed up. And then they sell it to you. Well, it's the same thing spiritually. Jesus came to show us where we was, how dirty we was, how unclean we was. But some of us are afraid of the light. When he comes and show it to us, you know what you say? That's not me. Act the photographer, you take your picture to him. I know that's not me. Something must be wrong with it. That's you. Yeah, that's you. But we don't like to see that because you know what? We're afraid of the light. The light tells us that something is wrong. It can tell us something is right. But it tells us something needs to be changed. Something can be fixed. And that's the thing we avoid because it reveals to us who we are. And when you're in darkness, you know what? You'll wish you had a light. Phil not here, is he? Oh, man, Phil here. Phil, when this happened, I was about 7 or 8 months old. That's just for Phil. For the rest of her, I was about 8 or 9 years old. And if I was raised up, you know, in a Baptist church, and my mama was an usher. Back then, the ushers wore white dresses, and they put their little ribbon on there. But, you know, and they. So one Saturday night, mama had work. We decided we're going to stay up late. And when I say late, the TV go off at 11 o'clock, so we was watching Shock Theater, some ghost picture on there, and we went to bed. Well, my mama came back home, we sleep, we didn't know. She took her dress, and she hung it in the doorway. But I'm asleep, we sleep. And this is in the projects, we got the window fan, the box fan in the window. I just happened to wake up, and I see this white dress slowly turning, and I covered up my head. And being in church all my days, I say, well, I can use faith and get through that. It's really not there. That's my imagination. So I peeped under that cover, and it turned again. I said, oh, Jesus. Now, my brother's in the other bed, but I don't want to wake him up. The light is at the door where the dress is. So now I'm in the bed, covered up, and said, what am I going to do? Daylight finally came, and I saw that it was the dress with the wind blowing. But now, if I would have had a light, all I had to do was put the light on. I'd have saw it was a dress. I could have got up and went and used the bathroom long ago. But I had to sit there and hold it because I didn't have a light. The same thing spiritually. If you got the light of the word, when sickness comes in, guess what? All you got to do is shine the light. You got to know that healing is the children's bread. You know that. You know that your marriage is blessed. When trouble comes, you say, my marriage is blessed because why? God said his word. My children are a gift from God. Those things come to mind, but you have to have a light. But some of us are afraid of the light. Now we got to get to this point. The second point is your deeds are evil. Your deeds are evil. That's why we don't like the light. And you got to respect John. John didn't play. He said, you know, you don't come to the light because your deeds are evil. When we hear that, we don't, evil. I know I'm not evil. I know. This what evil is, wicked, means to be bad. That's a term our president used all the time, bad, bad, bad. To be harmed, cause misery or distress, to cause every kind of calamity. Evil, your deeds are evil. When he say your deeds are evil, he not disclaiming you as being saved or not saved. What he's saying is, and that's why I say Brian was right on, you making plans to do something that you know is wrong. You intentionally not coming to prayer service or Bible class because you got other things you want to do. Some of us. When we was out in the world, married or not, you know what? If you wanted to get away, you knew how to start an argument. Well, now I told him I was going to be there, and she on the phone calling up, talking about, Oh, mama, we all doing fine. What I told you about telling your mama my business? I'm getting out of here. Why? I needed an excuse to get out. Because you're planning. Any little thing would do. Because you're what? Your plans, your deeds are evil. How many of us done plan? Well, y'all ain't going to raise your hand anyway. But in your heart, you know, the things you say or the things you did was because you had ulterior motive. It was something you want or something you wanted to do, so you act a certain way. When your deeds are evil, let's look at Proverbs 14 and 12. Proverbs 14 and 12, look what it says. There is a way which seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We say things and we don't mean them to be evil, but we say that's my way. That's the way I do things. This is my choice. Now, when you make a choice, you're choosing normally from what you've known, what you know. Something you desire. And I give you an example. A young lady, a young man, because they're both guilty of it, when it comes to abortion, you know if you have that child, we're going to be strapped down. We're going to have to feed it and change it. We ain't going to have to go all the places we've been going. Somebody going to have to stay home with. It's a choice you make it. But the ways thereof is death. Now, when we see that word death in the Hebrew, it don't literally, it don't always mean dying or just mean dying. Because death also means painful, sickness, separation. When Adam sinned in God, he said, that day you shall surely die. He was separated from God. So we make choices. Homosexuality, well, that's a choice. That's the way I feel. Why? Because your deeds are evil. Look what the definition comes into mind. The character of being evil is to keep or to draw us away from the love of Christ and to keep us at odds with God. Morally is the first thing. Morally, they identify the actions that violate God's intention for us. What's the moral? Why is it morally wrong? Because it violates God's intention. God said, I wish you to prosper, be in good health. I wish that you rise up and not come down. But you decided, because it's society say you have a right to choose, you choose to kill the child. And I'm not, you know, condemning nobody, but it's just an example. Oh, you just choose to be go both ways or one way, whatever that is. But you make that decision and say, you know what? It's right because that's the way I see it. And you never look to see how far you are from God. We don't realize sometimes that Satan don't take us and snatch us away. He put us at a slight angle from God. So like God is here and we right here. And Satan gets us to slowly go this way. Where God can always go straight. And before you know it, you didn't run, you drifted away. You can drift away from God. And then when trouble comes, you say, oh Lord, who is that? You're so far away, you can't hear. He sees you. He knows where you are. But Isaiah 59:2 says what? That your sins have separated. Every time you put, God is where he is, but you decide to lie, so you live further. You decide to cheat, so you live further. And before you know it, you're out of the ark of safety. And you have to keep asking yourself, why I'm afraid of the light? The light is the word of God, but I stay away from it. Why am I not blessed the way I think I should be? Are my deeds evil? The electric bill coming up. Boy, that air conditioning run. I think I'm going to just put half of my tithes this time. Why? Because your deeds are evil? I know I should be at prayer service, but Thursday night football coming on. I don't want to miss that. Are your deeds evil? Anything that violates or keeps you from what God wants you to do is considered evil. And we don't like to see that because you know what? Evil sounds like a bad word. We put evil on murderers or killers or rapists. That's evil. The little lies we tell, that's not evil. We don't want to look at it like that. But God says it's sin. And you got to realize that all evil things are based in sin. There's consequences. You're going to suffer physically, emotionally, and spiritually from evil deeds. Physically, you can get sick. Mentally, I've read that some ladies 20, 30 years later, still crying over a child they got rid of. They didn't know. And that's why that verse said, the entrance of that word brings wisdom even to the simple. Sometimes we don't know. We grow up just living and doing things, and we say, that's the way I always did it. I thought, you know, this was the best thing for me. Or we listen at psychologists. And psychologists, they kind of strange sometimes. They like to put everything in a like in a little bubble where they can just reach out and touch it, and say that well, darkness really have no relevance. It have no relevance. Put them lights out. You'll see how relevant. In the beginning, it wasn't no such thing, because the glory of God was there. They didn't worry about light and dark. The glory of God was there. When God said, let there be light, then darkness had to flee. Then darkness had something opposite of it. But before then, no, it didn't, you know, it was of no importance. And if you're in the light, darkness is not important to you. You don't go say, well, let me find me some darkness, unless your deeds are evil. And it's not to condemn anyone, but because Paul and we didn't write it, put it down, but Paul in chapter 7 of Romans, he always talked about how he fought with his flesh. Every time I tried to do good, evil was right there. That which I would do, I did not. That what I would not do, that's what I find myself doing. And he said, and when you get to verse 8, do you know what he said? He said, but there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ. And that's our goal, to stay in Christ. If you're not in Christ, this is the time to do it. Every opportunity that somebody mentions salvation and receiving God as your Savior, we should take it. And we have family members that, you know, we know they don't seem to be interested in it. They don't seem to understand why we do what we do. But when you read, we did Psalms 27:1, you know, in verse 10, it says, when thy father and mother forsake thee, then will I take you up. God knew that coming to him would separate us from a lot of things. He knew that coming to him would alienate us, even with one of the strongest bonds that we know. Mother and child. I know my wife called that boy about that tall, and she's still talking about, that's my baby. Still spoiling. What my baby need? Go see her. I say, you're a grown man, I ain't going no more. But I end up going, and you know, that's another story, Corey. But it's a strong bond. But God said, and he knew, he said that coming to him, in some instances, gonna separate mother and son. And we have to ask ourselves, is my love for God strong enough or deep enough that I would forsake everything else for him? And that's when you know you're not afraid of the light. I got to ask you all a question, because you know that faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you don't study the word and know the word, we're going to have a test. And it's good that pastor not here. Because you see, if you take a test and with everybody here, you know what they're going to do? Look to see if pastor raises his hand, then we're going to raise our hand. If pastor don't, we ain't going to raise our hand. So we're going to have a faith test. And this is the faith test. You're going ice fishing in Minnesota in the dead of winter. So you know you're going to have to cut a hole in ice to fish. This is the test. And it's not the test that they give in the public school that there's no right or wrong answer. You got a wrong answer. So now, this is the test. You got to go on that lake and fish. Do you want great faith and an inch of ice, or do you want 2 feet of ice and a little faith? All those that want a little faith and 2 feet of ice, raise your hand. I got 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so I'm assuming all the rest of y'all gonna want great faith and 1 inch of ice. Let me tell you something. A bunch of y'all gonna be wet. A bunch of y'all gonna be wet. And I say that to say this. Who told you had great faith? what you base, what have happened or done in your life that you say, I got great faith. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, she never said she had great faith. She just knew her condition, and she knew who her healer was. So when she realized how great God was, she just said, if I can touch him. God said she had great faith, but how are you going to judge whether or not you got great faith or not? Be wise. That's why the Bible says this. He said, with a little faith, you can move a mountain. But y'all want great faith and walk on that much ice, y'all going to get wet. You have to understand, the word of God says it's a light. When you get the light, you have to understand what he's saying. You don't need a lot of faith in faith. You need a lot of faith in God. If you got a little faith in God, you can do all that you need to do. He'll determine whether or not your faith is great or not, or you doing great things. I don't know. I got enough faith to believe. Enough faith to believe that he's my Savior. Enough faith to believe that he died for me. If I got that much faith, anything else, the blessing come with it. Isaiah 43, you know what he said? He said, when you go through the fire, the flood, guess what? But now, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. You're going to have to go through some water. Hopefully it's not that water in Minnesota, because that's going to be cold. When I go through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall thy flame be kindled upon thee. You know why? Because the Lord thy God is with you. The Holy One of Israel is thy Savior. That's what you want. You don't have to make stuff or add stuff to the Bible. All you need is a little faith. Now, we know how big a mountain. If I had a little faith and I can move a mountain, well, then I'm good. Give me 2 feet of ice, and because, you know, I don't weigh that much. Anyway, Phil wouldn't let me in the weight loss thing. But I ain't got over that yet, Phil. But that's all you need, a little faith. If you got that faith, it's enough. Now we got one more topic we got to talk about, and it's kind of tough. The truth. How many of us love the truth? Boy, them hands. Now they don't want to raise their hand. I think I don't have no question to test about that. You got to love the truth. There's a word for us who don't like the truth. It's called vertophobia. I didn't put it up there, but that's what it is. People that's afraid of the truth. And anybody here afraid of the truth? Oh, y'all ain't raising your hand up. We're going to find out. If you're married, your spouse is going to know if you're afraid of the truth. They're going to know if you're afraid of the truth. Because you know what? They're going to tell you something simple. Like, let's take water, since we was talking about that. You get a bottle of water, and you drink, and you set it down. 10 minutes later, you get another bottle of water, and you drink that. Halfway, and you put it down. Now you got a half here, a half there. 50, you get another bottle of water. And they tend to come and say, why are you wasting that water? Wasting water? I don't waste no water. I'll buy you a case of water. It ain't but $3. It don't change the fact that you're wasting the water. Whether you buy me 2 cases or 3, you're wasting the water. But that's the truth. And when you hear the truth, you know what you say? That ain't me. I ain't telling. Let somebody say, you gossipy. Gossipy? I don't gossip. Well, what so-and-so did? Oh, they went over here and did. Who you on the phone with? Oh, I'm just talking with I done heard that story full time. Every time you're on the phone with somebody different, but you're not gossiping, I know I ain't gossiping. I'm just telling them to help them. You're not talking to them. But if they tell you the truth, what's your response? Do you say, is that me? I never noticed. Not as Hebrew. No, not as Hebrew. Wait, you know what you're going to do? If Minister Doug does something and his wife tell him, well, why don't you pick up your shoes? They're over there too. What? It's the truth. You left it right here. When we hear the truth, we respond from our heart. And if our heart get offended, James, we gonna snap. They tell you buying something else? That's my money. I can buy what I want. When I hear the truth, what's my response to it? When I hear what, do I suffer from vertophobia? I have a fear of the truth. When you see somebody coming and they know something about you, oh boy, here they coming. You know ain't nothing down there. You're trying to duck and get, why? Because they might say something that's the truth. We are afraid of the truth. Oh, I'm not afraid. God, the Bible says this, that what? Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. When we hear that, oh yeah, that's, I'm gonna give. But when he tell you who to give to, they don't need that. Oh, I'm following the spirit. You're following the spirit. What? No, you're following what's in your pocket. You won't keep that green. You don't want, I don't feel it. I ain't got there yet. That's the thing, a term we use in it. Well, why don't you forgive that sister? What you did? Oh, you know, I ain't got there yet. I'm working on it. Why? How much energy does it take to say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I didn't mean to offend you. If it was on my fault, if it was on me, forgive me. You don't have to, it don't mean that you're wrong, but you can release yourself and that person if you do it. And who knows who's watching you being the child of God that you say you are. The truth. The truth is something that we kind of dug. Let's read that verse 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. I thought truth was something we know. When we always said, oh, you know the truth. But in that verse, he said what? But ye that doeth truth, cometh to the light. Truth is something that causes action. It's a certainty. I'm certain. If it's the truth, you're certain about it. It's established. It's faithful. It's reality. Not them shows you see on TV. Because I don't know why they call that reality show. Because if you just act normal, they're going to cut that show off in about 3 episodes. But how it's going to be real when I know you got all these cameras all around my house and I want to get paid, so I got to do some things that are going to keep people watching. So you act fool and act cut up and do all kind of crazy things and say, this is a reality show. That's why I don't watch it, because it's not real. You have to understand that truth is something that has to be done. If you tell somebody, Miss Denise, I love you, but when she needs you, you're not there. What is the truth? I have a church love. When I see her, how you doing? Good to see you. What I need? Oh, I ain't got that. I ain't got that. Where does the love come in? Where does love come in when somebody offends you and you got to tell everybody? Where does the grace come in? When they messed up, they know it. They may not be strong enough spiritually yet to say, it was me. Where does the grace come in and say, well, I can still put my arms around you and we can still go on? I don't have to have you say you're sorry for me to still love and care for you. Truth is something that has to be done. You know the truth and the truth is going to set you free, but if you don't walk in that freedom, you're really not free at all. Because you're harboring those things that got under your skin, that got under your nerve. And you got to ask yourself, am I really what God called me to be? Am I in the light? Several verses, Colossians and Ephesians, they say we are children of the light, walk in the light. That's how we're supposed to live. But we don't always do it. We see things that offend us, and we push away from the person and not the spirit that caused that person to do it. We don't know how to differentiate between a person that's hurt and say things and a person that's just bitter. We don't know that yet. We haven't gotten to that place. But the whole point of what John was saying was what he told Nicodemus. When Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said, well, you know, I want to be saved. And Jesus told him that old thing that the Baptist church used to say all the time, you must be born again. Now in that, we are, the old church, they never did, you know, talked about reconciliation and those things in church. They never did that. But we came up, they say, you must be, you got to be. Don't you see, you have to be born again. They used to sing songs about it. And the thing about that is, when you get born again, the first time, they say, mama told you about it. The second time, you can tell mama about it, if you've been born again. How many of us in here can say, I'm born again? That's saved. That's what it is, being saved. Now, if you've been born again, not your physical birth, but your spiritual birth, there was a place of conception. If you was born again, that was a place of conception. Physically, you can say, I got saved when I was in the park. I got saved at a storefront church. I got saved, I was walking down the street. That's a physical place. Y'all with me? But a spiritual place, since being born again is spiritually, there have to be a place of conception if you've been born again. A place where the sinner and the Savior came together. Place of conception. The only place I know is at the cross. If you never came to the cross, if that place of conception never happened, then you haven't been born again. Because there has to be a place where you was conceived. That's why we used to sing it was at the cross where I first saw the light. And the burdens of my heart rolled away. How did I get there? There by faith, I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. If there's no conception, there can't be no salvation. Somewhere you and Christ have to come together and you have to be covered under the blood, washed under the blood. If that never happens, you're not saved. You see, well, Brother Sam, I know my spot. I've been to the cross. I've been saved. But now I got another question to ask you. Are you developing, since you was conceived, are you developing, but nobody know it? You was conceived, you believed in Jesus Christ, you repented, you said, but now nobody sees it. You still cursing. Got your weekly casino, your bingo. You go do your trail rides and cut up and do this. And you're doing all these things, but you say, I've been to the cross. I've been conceived. I'm developing, but nobody can see it. There's an absence of the word. If you could get the word, guess what? The more word you get, the faster you develop. The more word you get, the faster that you develop. The more word you get, the faster you develop. And you always wonder why. I've been in church 17 years. They ain't asked me to do nothing. He been here 2 years, and now he doing this. They got him over there. you haven't grown. You haven't decided to change. You haven't decided to say, you know what? I'm not afraid of the light. I know his word is light, his word is true. Guess what? I'm gonna get as much of that word as I can. Another thing we have, if you're an infant, you've been conceived, you're slow in developing, now you're starting to grow, you're an infant, crying for milk, but you never make it to Bible class. Once a month church service, if there's going to be communion, I'm going to come. And you're wondering why you're still crying for milk. Still crying. We're still crying for milk. You know why? Because we haven't learned to feed, to hunger, to grow. There's a growing child that's always doing, always looking, always wanting to learn more. And we look at all these things and you say, you know what? Brother Sam, I'm okay on those instances. When I need a light, I pray. I pray for healing. I pray for all these things. I get in trouble. I pray. I get God's, try to get God close to God as I can. But one thing I have, sometimes I'm still suffering. Why is that? We'll never take away the sovereignty of God. We never take God from choosing what he decided to do in our life. Just think about this. If God had, Job was perfect in God's sight. He's a perfect and upright man. Not that he didn't sin, but he strived toward God, just like some of you. But yet, bad things happen. You're on a roller coaster ride, up and down, up and down. It might not be for you. Just like Job went through it for us to lose 10 children, that's a funeral there, 10 at a time. All his wealth, body sick, and then get some weak friends to come there and criticize him all that time, and he still stand firm and said, though he slay me, yet will I trust. That's the key. That word, do it, trust it. It got to be put into action. Yeah. How am I know you trust God if he never put you through the fire, through the flood, through all these things? They never come up, but you say, I trust God. You trust him with what? You didn't go through nothing. You have to be tried in the fire if you're ever going to come out like gold. If you're ever going to be gold, you have to be tried in the fire. And that's the thing we have. We want all the goodness of God. We jump and shout when you're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and the blessings come. But when he stops and say, Brother Carl, you're going to be my example to stand strong and suffering, and I'm going to be with you. How many of us going to raise our hand up for that? How many of us going to say, Lord, when you need somebody to be without, to show that you're a provider, let it be me. How many of us would stand up and say, Lord, let the tears run from my eyes to let others see that you have wiped tears from our eyes or fix a broken heart? We'll never decide that. That's why it's up to him. It's our job to trust him, to love him. And you'll never do that if you don't have to worry. Because you'll never know that he'll never leave you or forsake you. You'll never know that. You have to have that word. So when you get the word and understand that I'm not afraid of the light, you'll be able to say, Lord, whatever you need in this season, you can use me. Whatever you're doing, you can use me. But if he's doing to make an example of somebody that's without, are we still willing? Do we trust God enough to say, I'm in your hands, whatever you want to do? The only way you can get that. And there's some here. I believe there's some here that whatever God decides, they're going to do it. But if you're the one that's never been conceived, this is your time. This is your time to say, well, Lord, I know that I need a Savior. I'm in distress. I'm in discomfort. I'm in pain. I'm lost, and I don't know why. I don't have no direction, and I don't know where to go. But your word says you'd be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And if I can just get the light of Christ to live in me, I can be all that you want me to be. I confess that I'm a sinner. I messed up. I missed the mark. I'm the one that's been short. When you went to look for the lost lamb, that was me. I'm the one that always strayed away. But Lord, now I'm coming back home. I'm coming back to be with you. And use me for your service. And if we can do that, we'll no longer be afraid of the light. And we'll always accept the truth in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Our brother did an awesome job, huh? It's not much left to say at all, except that, like he was saying, he gave everybody the gospel. And we don't ever want to leave this place not knowing for certain that our life is in his hands. And I just want to say this, you know, just like he said, you know, sometimes we don't know our deeds are evil because we've just been living in darkness for that long. And that's why when the light hit us, like my brother said, that's why we just reject it. You know, we reject it because of that. Tonight is an opportunity that we're just going to pray and get out of here. But I want you to search deep down in your heart. And I want you to think about it, guys. Because I know a lot of times we get up here and, you know, pastor, every minister, every deacon, we get up here and we pray the sinner's prayer with you guys. I don't want anybody in this place tonight or ever to be like, okay, well, it's time to pray. Let's get out of here. It's serious. Every time we get up here and say the sinner's prayer, it's like what my brother said. Think of it. It's a matter of life or death. Don't ever take that for granted. Don't ever look at it as cliche. We have an opportunity to come to the light. We have an opportunity to accept the light. We have an opportunity to be light for others. Let's not ever, 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 ever take that for granted, guys. So this time we're just going to say the sinner's prayer. My brother, you did such an awesome job. You want to lead him, my brother? You did an awesome job, man.
Let's say, Father, I love you. I realize now that I need a Savior. I admit that I'm a sinner. And I ask you now to come into my life. Lord, wash me and cleanse me. Lord, claim me as your child. I'm sorry. I did the things I did that was against your will. Please forgive me. But Lord, now I confess that you are my Savior, that you are my Lord. Your grace has found me, and I'm thankful. Use me, Lord, in your service, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, I ask right now that you will bless here your people, God, that you will watch over us and keep us safe, God. Let us receive the word and receive you from tonight, Father God, and that we would take every single thing that we heard, God, and we would go beyond those doors and share it, God. Let us share it to the world with boldness, God, and watch over us, watch over every vehicle, God, every man, woman, and child, and household, God, and be with us. And Father, we also ask that you continue to bless our pastor as he home resting as needed, Father God. So Father, we thank you so much, and we say all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all be blessed.